for the revitalization of our faith and for our spiritual fortification in view of the difficult and faith-testing times we are served today with two sacred moments of God's self-revelation and experience. The first we had in the first reading, Daniel's vision. And this vision appeared at a time of great stress and dis-ease and struggle, namely the persecution at the time of the Maccabean revolt in the mid-second century BC. Many suffered and died on account of fidelity to the Torah and their ancestral customs. Of course, there were many who gave up their faith because Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a tormentor, really was very ruthless. And for many, it really seemed useless to resist the enemy who seemed so powerful and overwhelming. Contrary to this message, the dazzling and overpowering vision of the Ancient One of Days, as in Daniel's vision, revealed the power of the one true ruler of the world, God. And in this case, comparatively, Antiochus Epiphanes was so insignificant. His days were numbered, his power illusory. God will take control and put all things right. And in that vision, an angelic figure with a human appearance would be given the supreme power to rule. This vision gave hope and encouragement to the people at the time to remain steadfast. God is actually in control and will prevail over all the evil forces marshaled or mastered against the Holy One. So it is in New Testament times that this angelic figure came to be understood as Jesus Christ. In our own moments of darkness and doubt, in our moments of suffering and frustration, we can also benefit from meditating on this vision. In the gospel, Jesus took up Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain. You know, mountains have always been associated with the God experience, associated with theophanies, God's revelation. On Mount Sinai, God entrusted to Moses the Ten Commandments to guide the Israelite life and worship. In his time of persecution, Elijah experienced God's presence and his affirmation on the mountain. In the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, mountains were scenes of temptation, great preaching, agony, and untimely his death on the cross. Ultimately, his death on the cross. So on Mount Tabor, Jesus is transfigured before his apostles Peter, James, and John. They will be the same apostles with him in the agony in the garden. And so in a way, this was but a preparation for them also, for the hard times ahead of them. Moses and Elijah are also present, speaking with Jesus about his approaching death. Moses, the lawgiver, Elijah, the great prophet, they were there. So in the presence of these two, representing the law and the prophets, the voice of the Father is heard. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And so the message is addressed to us also. We need to converse with these prophets, with the saints, a way of prayer and through scriptural reading that we may be fortified, we may be transformed, we may be transfigured, and we may be prepared for the difficult times we encounter in our lives. Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to bring them to completion. And Christianity is not an abstract code. It is about the person of Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to listen and to follow him. The epistle to the Hebrews tells us that in times past, God spoke to us through the holy prophets, but in these days, the last days, through his Son. For Jesus, the transfiguration was a turning point in his life. Until now, he was captivating the people with his preaching and with his miracles. But now he must descend to the valley. He must descend and take on the road from Gethsemane and then all the way to the Calvary. And so the transfiguration gave Jesus a foretaste of his glory, not so much to Jesus, but also to his apostles. And in the strength of that joy, he could endure his cross and despise the shame associated with it. First of all, the transfiguration gave Jesus another affirmation of his Father's love and the rightness of his path, his chosen path, that is the cross through which he will attain to glory once more. For at his baptism in the Jordan, his Father had affirmed him, "This is my beloved Son in whom my favor rests." And now he says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So this was an awe-inspiring experience for the apostles. And filled with consolation, Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us erect 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But of course, this was not to be. They had to realize that it was just a preparation for them for the coming times. And they, with Jesus, they must descend below the mountain, the valley. Whereas on Mount Tabor, in that period of the transfiguration, they would not want to leave. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they would not want to stay. They would want to flee. But Jesus was arrested. Many of us, and I can say all of us, can all identify with the apostles in the moments of mountaintop experiences when we have joy and consolation. We will want those moments to stay on forever. But when it comes to the time of persecution, we would not want it to continue. The transfiguration, therefore, was a mountaintop experience for the apostles, and as I've said, in preparation for future trials. The Mass, as we celebrate each day, is our mountaintop experience, and it prepares us for our daily trials. The Mass is not a transfiguration, it is transubstantiation, in which bread and wine are transformed into the glorious body and blood of the risen Christ. So in this joy, in our consolation, and receiving Holy Communion, we would want that experience to continue. Lord, it is good for us to be here. But we have to realize that it is only to empower us to go out at the end of the Mass as we hear, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord." And we must easily, or we must quickly pick up our crosses and leave to face the trials of the day. But having been to the mountaintop, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, made visible in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.